I blew up my family for my affair partner. Now what? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin. Hey, Tyler.
Brandon.
You going to Guadalajara Honkies today?
It's actually called El Toro Viejo, and I wish I was, because it's my favorite restaurant in Logan, but no, I'm not going there.
Oh my gosh. We don't do commercials, but if you're ever in Logan, and what do they order? What's that? What do you tell me to get?
I always tell you to get the Tampa Kenya.
The Tampa Kenya at, I call it Guadalajara Honkies because I forgot what it was called, but it's El Toro Viejo.
Yeah.
In Logan. Yeah, you won't regret it if you like Mexican food.
Every time Brandon comes up, I think sometimes Brandon is the only way I can get him to come to Logan to like hang out with me or do any like projects or work is I promise to take him to El Toro Viejo, and then he's like, "All right, I'll be there tomorrow."
I love me some Mexican food.
It's a really good place. It's my favorite place in town. Logan's not known for its like food choices, but that's a good one, and it could stand up in any place where there are good food choices.
Yeah, I agree. So, nothing better than eating Mexican with my bro. So, yeah, try to make that happen. But okay, well, we have a guest on the show today. We're excited to have her. So, Samantha, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
If you could just give us some background, tell us what's going on and give us some context, and we'll just go from there.
Sure. So I've been married almost 20 years. I grew up as an only child with a single mom, and my dad basically left when I was one, and he had some infidelity going on. But he always remained a part of my life growing up. And my mom raised me on her own, but he lived in a different state. So he would come and visit us every other weekend, and he would actually stay with us. And so for me, that was normal, and it wasn't a big deal, and everything was good. And I feel like I had a really good childhood, and she provided well for me. And he was, you know, involved over the phone basically a lot. And I visited with him on school breaks and things. And so that was my childhood. Was raised in a very, a very Christian home, very strong morals, which I held dear for basically my entire life, and, didn't date a whole lot. Like when I was in high school, I had like a couple boyfriends, but nothing major. I dated somebody through college. I went to a Christian college. Out of state, and I dated someone from home the whole time. And it was very much a pressure to find a husband at that point. When you go to a Christian college, like you have to find a husband there, or you have to get married right away or whatever. And there's like no sex before marriage for sure. And, you know, it was a very conservative school. So dated this guy from home the whole time. And then I came back after college, and we had kind of broken up a few times because I just wasn't sure that I wanted to marry him. And so I ended up meeting somebody after we broke up locally where I live, where my mom lived, and dated him for, I don't know, I think just a few months. I kind of knew like he checked all the boxes, you know, he was sort of a Christian at that time. He wasn't like a strong Christian, but he would go to church with me. He was agreeable to no sex before marriage, like all the things that I wanted. He would be a good provider. He was interested in the same things. We liked to play video games at that time. And he worked out, like lifted weights and things. And so, you know, my mom said way back when, she said that he's the one. Isn't he? And I said, yeah, he's the one. Like, he's a strong, moral, good person. And so we got married after 2 years of dating, and we lived in separate apartments on our own in the same apartment complex. We were very, you know, to the T Christian, you know, conservative people. And we got married and everything was good. And, you know, we were not super, I would say not super sexual. When you'd wait to marriage, I guess you would think that you would be kind of like, you know, really into it or something. And we just weren't, like, we never were like that. We were just, again, pretty conservative people, I guess. And maybe he thought I was that way and I thought he was that way. I don't know. But I've had a lot of time to reflect about, you know, our past and our journey. And I've been doing a lot of self-reflection and just like, I don't know why we never really like pursued anything more than status quo or like vanilla or whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
So we have three children. We had three children over the years and they are now 11, 14 and 16. And I had a lot of guy friends growing up through college. And even now I have guy friends and I am into fitness. I'm into sports. I have a lot of relationships with guys from all of the extracurricular activities that I do. And so I would meet guys and chat with them all the time. And it wasn't a big deal to me because I've always had guy friends. And so basically there was one guy that I always he always piqued my interest and, you know, we would chat a lot. We'd chat every day. And I had other guy friends I would chat every day with. And this is when the kids are, you know, this was probably 8 years ago or so, 7 years ago. And so him and I had certain extracurriculars that we would do together. But I did with lots of people. And we would, we would continue to chat all the time. And I asked my husband, like, do you care if I have a best friend that's a guy? And he said, no, I don't care. I'm like, okay. And then even over the years, my kids said, mom has a boyfriend. I'm like, no, he's not a boyfriend. And he would be dating other people. We even went on a double date with him. When I tried to set him up with somebody, we went on a double date. Like, we did all these things. I kept trying to set him up with people. Like, if, you know, if he's dating other people, there's no risk of me, you know, being with him, basically. And so, I had a big race that I was going to do, like a huge race. It was an Ironman, an Ironman race. And I trained for it for 6 months. I asked my husband if I could do that because I was working part-time at the time. And it was like the kids were more independent. And I thought, this is my chance. If I want to do this huge race, I want to do it now. And like, just because of timing. And he said he would support me. And it was great. And so, you know, I did all this training away from the home. He was supportive of me in that way. The other person I'm talking about, he would kind of coach me virtually, like, get out there, go ride, go do this, whatever. And so I was away from the home a lot and training. And then I would come home and go to bed exhausted. And my husband would go play video games at night. You know, and we weren't connecting. And then in that time, right around that time, this is a little over a year ago, like last fall, this is January now. He had told me that he didn't believe in God anymore, my husband. And I said, oh my, like, this is hard for me to process. Like, this is what we built our whole family on. And I just didn't know how to like even handle that. And so I said, like, I can't just keep it all in. I need to talk to somebody. Like, can I tell my friend? And he said, yeah, I can tell, you can tell your friend. And so I did. And this was the guy friend, my best friend. So I got together with him and told him, like, he's lost his faith in God. He thinks science has disproven God. And my friend said, it'll be fine. You can still be married. Like, he still will go to church with you. It'll be okay. And we were going to be doing a big cross country trip, an Ironman, and my dad, had moved back to the area a few years prior and I had been taking care of him. His health was ailing. He was in a nursing home and he ended up passing away the day that I was supposed to do a 100-mile bike ride, like my biggest one of training. And so he passed away. And I basically had to do the funeral, mourn my dad, move his stuff out, go on a cross country trip, do the Ironman. And then my best friend told me he loved me, like all within like 3 weeks of each other. And so in the eulogy, in the funeral, this was before he said he loved me. We, even my husband mentioned him, like, you know, my dad would talk about him. We talked about him in the eulogy, being a good friend and a support and all of this stuff. And I didn't think anything would happen with that statement. And I did have feelings for him and I wasn't ever going to act on it. And I never thought it would come of anything, you know, anything would ever come of it because I did love my husband. I love my family. And, you know, I didn't think it, I could ever do anything to hurt that. And I never thought that I would. And so obviously you can see where this is going, where it, I didn't handle it well. We went cross country. I did the Ironman, went cross country. I talked to the other guy the whole time, you know, virtually on the phone. And, you know, and I think my family knew I was talking to him because it wasn't abnormal at all, like to talk to him. And then, you know, came back and I thought that nothing would happen. And it basically did. And then he said, you know, I want to be with you. I want to marry you. And I want to, you know, it's going to be okay. The kids will be fine. My kids are fine. I'm divorced. You know, he's divorced. His kids are okay. My kids are going to be fine. And my kids are not okay. Nothing is okay. And I told my husband a year ago, almost to the day now, that I was leaving him. And he, like, he just didn't even, he had no clue, no clue at all. He thought everything was fine. That past November, I had said to him, like, when was the last time we went on a date? When was the last time we invested in each other? And he didn't have an answer. Because whenever we go out, we go with couples or we would, you know, go with the kids. Like, we didn't have any way of just connecting, him and I. And so I basically threw down a bombshell at that time. And, you know, the other guy was my best friend and he made me very happy. In every way, he checked all the boxes that I needed then at that time, like all my interests, all my extracurriculars, all the things he did as a person and how he treated me. It's, you know, it was all perfect except for the fact that it was me leaving everything I loved and knew to be with him. Mm-hmm. And so we went to couples counseling. My husband and I went to couples counseling last year for about 8 weeks. And I blocked the other guy for 10 days is the longest I made it. I would block him over and over and try to just focus on my husband and never, you know, it just killed me inside because he was my emotional support. He was my best friend. And basically I ended up unblocking him. And the counselor said, like, you're the worst person I've ever met in my entire life. And you guys need to get divorced. And I was like, well, that sucks. Like, I'm not that person that you think I am. And so basically in July last summer, I said, are we really like going to be pursuing this? Because if so, I need to find a place to live. Like, are we really going to be getting divorced? And we had gone to mediation in June because he wanted to do a dissolution instead of a divorce. So we went through the mediation route. I moved out in July. I moved a mile away from the kids, from my home. And I have a house, a rental house. And so the kids can go back and forth was what I thought would happen. They would kind of go back and forth. And my little one does, but the older two, they do not. They don't. They don't want to come over. They don't like coming over. They all have their set routine there. And so basically we've made it so that custody is like I get them one night a week for a little while and we do all the things with me and then every other weekend. And then because we've talked to them because they're old enough to like understand. And when we told them what was happening, my husband's requirement was that we read them a letter that basically said everything that happened and what was going on. Like, mom loves somebody else. You can't love somebody else when you're, you know, in a marriage. And, you know, so they basically, they knew, I mean, they, and now I don't talk about him. You know, the oldest, I think he assumes I'm still with him. He hasn't been around. He used to be around all the time. He hasn't been around them. I'm trying to rebuild trust with them and just try to move forward. And we're all going to counseling individually still. My husband is incredibly shut off from me. And I've been dreaming, like having dreams of him, like, oh my gosh, like maybe we can all be reunited and miracles can happen and everybody will be healed. And I told the other guy, like, I need this month off, like, of, you know, out of this relationship because it's just too much stress. I went from like having all the freedom in the world to, you know, with my children to like not hardly seeing them. And I have to work full time now to support myself. And just like my life has been completely obliterated. So that's kind of where I am. And the final date is in a month. February 7th is our final date to sign papers.
The divorce goes final then.
Yeah. And so you know, I keep trying to like text my husband and just say like, this isn't how this should be. This was never planned. And I have like all, he gave me like everything, like all of our cards over the years. And it's like, he won't talk to me about anything relationship wise, like nothing at all. He'll only talk to me about the kids. And it's just like, I've never felt so much anger from him, which I understand. I totally get it. I would probably be the exact same way.
Yeah.
I just can't believe what my life has come to. And, you know, and that this other guy still makes me happy. Like, I'm still really happy with him. We have a whole other life. His family has accepted me. Like, they're totally fine with everything. Like, they love me. They love that he's happy. And then on the other side, my mom hates him. My husband hates him. My kids hate him. You know, the people that really know absolutely hate him. And I don't even know what my husband is doing. Like, he doesn't really know what I'm doing. Like, it's a total, total mess. And it's like, when I think things are at their worst, it gets even worse. Like my son will say, you know, I wish you would just come see us for 2 hours, like once a month, and that would be enough. You know, that kind of stuff comes out of him. And then other times, like, they were here the entire Christmas break, and it was wonderful, and everything was great, and it was almost normal. But that's, like, the first little taste of maybe we'll get through this that I've seen. Like, the rest has been pretty darn bad. And I do see them at activities. I take them to all these things. I mean, I've been running myself ragged just trying to prove that I'm still their mother. Like, I'm taking them to charity work. I take them to church. But it's like, it's just not enough. Like, I need to be a mom to them, not like a carpool driver.
So, Samantha, what you sound pretty conflicted. And
yeah.
I just want to ask you, like, what do you want?
I would love to just rewind about 5 years and try to actually work on our marriage and like put forth the effort that I didn't even know. I didn't even know we needed that.
So are you saying that you would want to have your husband back? And is that what you're saying?
I think I would, because it would heal our family. Yeah. Okay. I think we could push through everything.
Do you want to, be in a relationship with him, your husband? Because you know what that requires. You know what that would require, right?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth with it because I feel like I don't know, everything has fallen out from what I used to know, starting with his faith. But I almost wonder if this is, it could be our test of faith, and then maybe this will bring him to God. I don't know. Like, crazier things have happened, I'm sure.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about your kids and, you know, things are normal during Christmas, and it's like, maybe we can get through this. Well, maybe you can get through this to what end? Because I hear how conflicted you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, maybe you can get through this to the end of healing your family and working with your husband, and or is it to the end of having a good divorce and being in a relationship with this other man? right? And you can see how you have both going on inside of you, and both and to be kind of direct here, like you've tried to have both for a long time, and these are the consequences that it gets you.
Absolutely.
And so and it's hurting everybody. It's hurting, and you know this, it hurts being on this, being ambivalent, sitting on the fence and wanting to have both and playing this kind of game with both. It there's repercussions beyond just the guilt that you feel and the feelings that you're feeling. And so one way or the other, you're going to have to step into some pain. Right? So, Tyler, thoughts?
Oh man, I got so many thoughts and a whole bunch of feelings running through me. Let me see if I can try to organize them for a second. When you say, Samantha, that you want to go back 5 years, what I'm hearing is that you're now looking at your life and realizing that there were a series of little, seemingly non-damaging and non-harmful choices that you made over the years that led to the position that you now find yourself in. And you wish you could go back with the knowledge you have now and make a different set of choices. Is that right?
I would.
And if you could, which we can't, but if you could, what choices would you make? What would be different?
I would have put up boundaries, which I found I don't have. I really don't feel like I have boundaries that are healthy for a marriage, like as far as keeping out people who might have an interest, or maybe not forming a best friendship with the opposite sex, and investing in my husband and not in other people, because I gave of myself so much to everybody else except for him. I gave to my kids, I gave to my neighbors. I was the one shoveling people's walks and doing all the extra stuff, but him and I were not connecting, not at all. Like, and I told him, even a more than a year ago, I feel like I'm pulling away from you emotionally. I told him that. And then our kids came in and interrupted, and we never revisited that conversation. And he just said, "You don't need to do that." And I said, "I feel like I am." That was before everything.
Okay. So with that, the hindsight is 2020, but what you found is that over time, it sounds like you gave in on your own values too, which is also puts your heart at war. It makes your decision-making process more clouded. It leaves you justifying certain other behaviors to try to justify why and how you can make those other choices. So you're saying, if I could have done it over again, I would have seen this, I would have been more boundaried, I would have put more time and energy into my marriage rather than outside of my marriage where it all went to. And then I wouldn't be sitting in this mess that I'm in right now, where emotionally I'm conflicted, spiritually I'm conflicted, relationally I'm conflicted, all of this stuff. So I'm having this thought, and this is I so appreciate you coming on here because it takes a ton of courage to be on a show like this, sharing your
Absolutely.
story. And I'm having like this dialectic go through me right now that I just need to speak for a second, which is, in a certain sense, your story today is a gift to every one of our listeners as a cautionary tale of like
Absolutely.
why we would want to fight for the fidelity of a marriage and a relationship, and why you'd want to set certain boundaries with certain people, and why you'd want to make certain choices that align with your values and all of that stuff. And so I hope that the people who are listening can see that your story is actually like a gift to them to look at their own lives and say, what am I doing to make sure I'm staying in my own value system? Now that the other side of that dialectic right now is you do find yourself in this situation and it has impacted a ton of other people, and you're paying a high premium for trying to ride the fence, like Brandon said. Life can still be good for you, Samantha. Like there's going to be a ton of work. There's going to be some choice into which kinds of pain I'm going to need to choose into, but you can still have, I don't know how it ends, And I don't know which direction it goes for you, but you can still have a good life ahead of you too. Like, it's not all is lost either. Like, both of those things are true at the same time.
I feel like sometimes I feel like that, like my life is over. Like I've lost my kids. I lost my husband. I lost my house. Everything, like my dog, my entire life is over. And then on the other side, I do feel that like eventually it's going to be okay. But like right now, it's not.
Samantha, I think there's directions that you can go in, and the direct and c going along with what Tyler's telling you, you can go in the direction of continued destruction, or you can go in the direction of reparation. And reparation means, I'm going to take one step at a time to make things better. And where you're sitting now, like, it's interesting, this 30 days that you're taking away from the affair partner. Is he respecting that?
No, I tried. No. No, I told him that and it
Okay.
basically didn't. I thought it was over for 30 days and then no, he's like, "Well, what's the point of that? You're doing this to be with me." And
Are you honoring that? Are you like trying to keep to those 30 days?
No, we actually went, well, we went on vacation, my mom and my daughter and a couple of girlfriends. And so I was away from him physically, but no, I mean, I still was talking to him because, but not as much, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I've never been able to fully break away from him. And it's
I
like,
love.
I did this for him. I did this to be with him, but it's like, I just had so much crushing me at the time. I just wanted to run away from it all. I just wanted to run away.
I appreciate your honesty with that, of owning that it's so hard. But the destruction is still happening. Can you see that? You're on vacation with your daughter, and you're committed yourself to not have contact with him, and yet you're having contact. So the affair goes on, so to speak. And for you, like, it would be much better for you to choose to fully be with the affair partner and go, like, do that fully, or fully not, right? And as long as you're in limbo, the destruction phase is still in place, and your kids are going to feel like mom's not just fully choosing us. Now, I'm not saying that the right thing to do is to just go try to figure out how to, have a marriage with your husband, and maybe that's not a possibility anymore. However, the like wanting both is really the selfish thing to do that causes the harm to everybody, right? Here's the other thing, Samantha, to think about. And I know you're in love with him, and I know that relationship is strong. But everybody's good. Everybody has goodness. But your affair partner doesn't sound like that great of a partner to me. Why would I say that?
Because he's selfish.
Yeah. I mean, he knowingly got his way into your family and helped t tear it apart with you.
He
Like, he was
told
willing
you
to.
that he loved you right after your dad died.
I know.
Yeah.
Everybody said that. Like, that's so convenient. And he said it was not on purpose that it was that timing, but he just, I was gonna walk away from him at the time. That he was just like, I just need to tell you this and I'll probably lose you as a friend. And that's what should have happened. That's what didn't happen.
He went on a double date, met your husband, looked him in the eye, man to man, and then cheated with his wife. We could go on and on. That like, what would stop him from doing this stuff to you? Right? Like, what would stop that?
I
Because
mean, he's said it a million times, like I'm all in, I'm never, you're the one for me. I want to
Getting in an
marry
actual
you.
long-term marriage with him, where life is hard and stress and it's difficult, and
When you're managing a blended family, do you think you're going to have time like you didn't have in your first marriage?
Right. And now he's at the
No.
gym, meeting the next woman there. I'm not saying for sure that would happen, but he's demonstrated that he is willing to cross those lines. And I'm not saying this to get you off of loving him. It's just the reality, right? If you want to be clear with what you're choosing. Choosing your husband, it sounds like you didn't fight for your marriage very hard, but it sounds like he didn't either.
Yeah.
Come on, like you're connecting with other men. He's like, yeah, whatever, go for it.
He was just being a Mr. Nice Guy, like whatever you want for happiness. I'll work full time while you go play pickleball with your lover.
And I'll go play video games to deal with it rather than like do the hard work with you. You know, and so like it wasn't all your fault that marriage was dying.
He said that he won't take any responsibility at all for for blowing up because it's all my fault. And that's what the kids have seen. And no, and like it's all mom's fault. It's all mom's fault.
There's more to that story.
Yeah, like it's like the polite marriage is what I've learned from all these things I listen to. There's like the polite marriage. We had a very polite marriage. We're very polite to each other. We helped everybody else. You know, it's like a little bit of conflict. Maybe it would have been good until it was blown up in our face.
Yeah, it's void of passion. It's polite.
Yes, it was. It was void of passion, yeah. Well, and now he's done all the things. He's taken care of himself. He gave up video games immediately. We went on the dates that the counselor recommended. He's like, if I don't try now, like I will always, you know, basically regret it. And, you know, so in his mind, he tried it all. Now he's taking care of himself. He doesn't drink. He's working out. He looks great. He wears tight shirts. he made shepherd's pie for New Year's for the kids. I'm like, you've never made shepherd's pie in your entire life.
Who is this man?
So, I mean, I give him credit and I do agree. This can be a testimony to everybody else too, that, I mean, if I help one couple, I'd be very happy because I mean, I did everything wrong. Everything that I see now, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, why didn't I say like something along the line? And I sort of did. I gave him hints along the way several times, but he didn't really take it seriously, I guess, at the time.
If Samantha, if I'm him, let's say this whole friction and everything has really motivated me to take care of me and to get better and to like step up as a dad and get healthy. If I'm getting healthy emotionally and spiritually and physically, then I'm less likely to go back to a spouse who is still in a relationship with an affair partner.
Yeah, for sure.
You understand what I just said?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
And so when he's not giving you the time of day, that's the right thing for him to do right now.
Yeah.
To have that cold boundary with you while you're still sleeping with the affair partner. Like, I don't want to even entertain a relationship with you in that way because I'm boundaried with not wanting a relationship while you're still having a relationship.
Right.
Right. So that part of you that wants a chance with him, like he shouldn't give you that chance.
Right.
Right now. Like he shouldn't. So for you to say like, oh, like what do I have to do? You know what you have to do to actually go for that.
Yeah.
Right. How does that make you feel?
I don't trust myself because I've not been able to do it in a year, you know? And it's like, and I told my mom that a long time ago. She said, you know, why can't you get rid of this guy? Why can't you say goodbye? And she has a childhood friend that she's been friends with her whole life. And this has not been my whole life, but, you know, almost 10 years kind of thing. And I said, what would you say if I told you you could never talk to your best friend again, ever? Like, he was more my friend than my husband was, for sure. Because my husband and I were not friends first. We were dating first. We weren't friends. And so she said, that would be really, really hard. I said, yeah, I know. And then you add love and passion and, you know, all that on top of it. It's like impossible. And I don't believe anything is impossible with God. I don't. But it's with my own self, it's been not possible. So I've been praying like for God, like, you know, where are you? Like, send me something here because, you know, the time is running out. The time is running out.
Yeah.
And I just believe that this is not our story. I believed a long time ago that this is not how this ends. Like, it can't be like that my family gets blown up for some other guy. Like, that's, it's just unbelievable to me. Like, that's literally my worst nightmare as a Christian would be for me to be with somebody else. When I waited for marriage, when I waited for him, when I prayed for him, and then to have this, like, my best friend is okay with this, you know, and he's a man of faith and everything. It's like, it's the total opposite of what you would ever expect to happen.
That's right. Samantha, I hear it in your voice. I hear the conflictedness, and I might just, I'm sitting here thinking about, like, you know, Brandon and I both have had clients who have been on both sides of this. Some people who have actually left for an affair partner and they end up making great marriages together. It always comes with a cost, but they figure out a good life and it works. Some people go back and they try to repair that relationship, and they do all of the hard, gritty work to try to repair a relationship that was kind of on life support. And that's hard work. And the hard part about both of these things in front of you is that you have no guarantees either way.
No.
Right? Your best friend just worked really hard to break up your marriage. Not sure he's a great friend. But he's your best friend and you have real feelings for him. What I might suggest to you, Samantha, is, and this wrestle you're having with God, I hear it. I love that you're wrestling with God. I think you're wrestling with God for him to provide an outcome for you rather than wrestling with God for you to have peace with your soul.
Yeah.
And I feel like, as I'm hearing you talk, I would love it if there was a magic like thing that could happen. And tomorrow morning you woke up and you could not cling to either outcome. And the only thing you had in front of you was, what do I need to get my heart straight with God?
Yeah.
And I imagine it would have principles like openness, honesty, accountability, humility, speaking it out loud like you're doing right now, stepping into some hard decisions, boundaries, choice for Samantha's heart to get aligned with her values again. Mm-hmm. You're living outside of your values and you're going to be in personal hell until you align yourself with your values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you think of that, Samantha?
I think that's spot on. Yeah. Yeah, because right now it's not. I mean, I can't tell my kids. I've always valued my morals and and everything that I've done. Like, wait till marriage, don't smoke, don't do drugs. You know, all that, like, that I always did. And I never had done anything wrong, like, in my whole life until I did something horribly wrong. You know, and it's like, I can't tell them how to live when I'm living how they, it's a total conflict in their minds, too. Like, why does mom say one thing and she's doing a whole other thing?
Samantha, you're Christian, right?
Yeah.
You believe in the atonement of Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
What do you know about that? What do you believe?
You know, I believe we've been talking, I've talked with the fair partner about this a lot too, but, like, you know, he forgives us and he wants us to be happy is what he was saying. Like, you know, yes, we did a bad thing. We broke up a marriage, we broke up a family, but it's going to be okay because we still believe in forgiveness. And, you know, but I don't believe that that gives you the right to keep sinning. I've never believed that either.
That, Samantha, that Tyler just said, you'll continue to live in your personal hell unless you get aligned with your values. I totally, what Tyler just said is really kind of the work that actually needs to be done here. Mm-hmm. That personal hell is not punishment. It's God fighting for you because your sins have been atoned for. You can be forgiven again and again and again and again. And you can find mm-hmm. peace and healing and wholeness completely, absolutely again. But as long as you continue to break down those values every day and you're living in that, you won't know how that actually feels. And you won't accept fully that atoning sacrifice, I believe, not to get too preachy. And so, it is about you getting clear with, and don't should on yourself. Like, stop and get really clear with what direction God is telling you to go here. But go in a direction.
The direction, Brandon doesn't mean pick a man. Brandon means pick a direction.
Yeah, you might end up single from both of them, and you spend a couple years just working on yourself. The other thing that comes up for me is your dad was unfaithful when you were young. Your parents got divorced. So like there's generational patterns going on
There it is.
here that's inside of you. So there's some work to do. And it's kind of, I'm gonna say two things that conflict here, and they're both true. One, you have generational patterns of, and I believe just the trauma, generational trauma, that you have a choice. You can deal with this and get healthy, or you'll continue to live in it. So in some ways, you're just kind of acting out in a way what was kind of happened to you, And the second piece is you're not just a victim to this. The beauty of this is you kind of come across as like, what do I do? I don't want this in my life. Samantha, you have power. You have power of choice to actually step in to make these decisions. That's on you. That's up to you right now. And it's hard, either direction. It's difficult. And you can stay in this hell where it just beats you down, or you can choose to step in today. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. It's interesting with my dad, like and I think that my husband has told my mom, he sees a lot of the same patterns for sure. And I know right when I told him, he kept me up one night all night long telling me, our children are going to have a greater likelihood of doing this. 50% of marriages with your children, like whatever, there's the higher statistics that are basically that this will continue for generations. And I keep listening to that song, The Blessing, about, blessing the future generations and generations and generations and generations to come are affected by your actions right now and by divorce right now and all of that. And it's my dad remarried to somebody I didn't really like at the time. And I grew to like her over time, but they were married 20 years and they got divorced. And she was married 20 years the first time and got divorced. And I'm at 20 years and getting divorced. I'm like, what is this? What is
Interesting.
happening? I don't understand it. Like, I never saw this coming in 20 years.
Yeah. Generational patterns. Like there's demons there. And you can have them affect you, or you can turn and face it and deal with it. And that's what breaks the chain. And this limb the limbo land that you're in is the pattern continuing. And so you're given this opportunity to deal with it and to be the strong one to face it, to walk through this pain and create something beautiful from it, or let it continue to haunt you. And I hope, and I don't, I hardly even want to say this, but I hope it doesn't trickle down to your children.
I know.
That I hope they don't have to deal with this too.
I know my husband has, he's stepped up as a dad and is trying to make sure that this doesn't happen, that they learn from this and that they learn that they won't do this to somebody else. But I don't know how he's approaching that because he won't talk to me. But, if it
There's
was me, I would say you need to invest in each other instead of everything else for sure. Not run parallel lives and be okay with it. And I always thought, oh, it's great. I have all this freedom. My husband's okay with it. He supports me, et cetera, et cetera. And that was not what I should have had.
a whole bunch you find yourself now in a place where there's a whole bunch of this practice of surrender that needs to happen with a lot of those outcomes. I hope the same things Brandon hopes. You know, but even though you've maybe been the one to affect this in a negative way, the only thing you have control over now is your day-to-day choice about who you're going to be today. And that choice taken every day for an extended period of time still has the ability to affect things for the better as much as things have been affected for the worse. And so you can spend your time worried about all of that stuff, or you can say, this is the place I find myself. This is not the life I envisioned. I do know I want to kind of uncover and understand more of who I actually am. I need to align myself back with the things that are most important to me. And I'm going to live a committed life towards those principles that I feel are true in my life. And if you'll do that for yourself, the byproduct will be that it does affect change in the lives of the people around you in positive ways, the same way that maybe the negative ways happened.
Samantha, no, go ahead, please.
my son and I have our first counseling session together in 2 days, and that's his first chance. His counselor thinks he's ready to talk to me directly. And it's his first chance to really open up, even though he's definitely opened up on me many, many times, but to really truly dive deep into how he's feeling now with me not being there every day. I don't really know how to justify myself to him, and I don't think I can. I think I just say, I'm here for you, and I'm going to move forward with you, and I want to be in your life. That's all
Yeah,
I
don't
can say.
whatever you do, don't show up to that session defensive or just like justifying.
Don't
Just
justify.
open, listening to his pain. He's grieving, right? So, Samantha, you know what's interesting is, did you run that Ironman?
I did it, yeah.
You did it. You did a freaking Ironman.
I
That's
did. I
Ironman.
did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I, from what I know, Ironmans aren't easy, right? So you can do some pretty hard things, and the process of training and getting yourself to that finish line, I imagine requires some things. To just go out on your own and like jog one day and be like, yeah, I'm just going to keep doing this till I run an Ironman, probably isn't how it works, right?
That's right.
So how does it work? Give me just a little bit.
Well, that's why, like, when I decided I had done some half Ironmans and some little triathlons and things, and I wanted to go all the way, and I've always been a determined person. And my husband actually brought that up too through the process of this. Like, you don't give up on things. Why are you giving up on this? Like, why would you give up? And now he's done. So, I'm like, I still have that hope. I still have that determination inside me. That is who I am. I am a driven person. I am a determined person. That's why I have a full-time job. After I said I was leaving, immediately I got a job, which I, a good job. Like, when I said I can do something, I do it. But yes, that was a plan over 6 months of commitment to waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting on a bike for 6 hours in my basement in the cold and over winter. And going into the pool when it's freezing cold outside, and having wet hair, and destroying my body, and going trying to fix it, and still keep going, and it was insanely hard. I never was an athlete growing up. I was not into that. I played piano. I was in marching band. Like, not I was not athletic. And this was a huge, huge bucket list item. And I would do it again. I would absolutely do it again if I could find the time. But
S
I did it all so
Samantha?
I could be there for my kids, train during the day.
Samantha, I want you to kind of compare and contrast here for just a second. The fight you have ahead of you is what Tyler said. It's not to get your family back and to get your husband back. The fight you have ahead of you is to know thyself, is to be strong and confident and in your alignment with God. That's the fight you have ahead of you. And you've gotten yourself to a place where it's going to be a painful process to get back in alignment. Just like an Ironman, doing your own trauma work. When you run an Ironman, you have a process, you have a training schedule, you have to do painful things, you have to do hard things, you have to do them consistently again and again. You probably have a support system that helps you get motivated to go to the pool that day. You stay the course even when it's most difficult. And you want to hit that finish line. That's the goal. But when you go out and you do that one run that day or that one swim or whatever, you don't know for sure that you're going to get there, but you just do it. You do what you need to do today in that process. Do you see what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Breaking it down, like instead of all these big, scary goals, like just taking it one step at a time.
With accountability, with a process, with surrender, not knowing exactly that you're going to get to the outcome that you want, but you're going to work today to do what you need to do today. And right now, Samantha, in many ways, you're working today to create what you don't want. If we're using the Iron Man analogy, it's like you're eating junk food all day, hoping that you're going to run an Iron Man. You got to get rid of the junk food. Then start on the process, right? So
Yeah, for sure.
you can do hard things. You this will be harder than the Iron Man, probably.
It is. It has been. It has been.
But the process itself is what's going to yield a beautiful result. I happen to believe that even when we find ourselves in a mess, there is something or someone bigger than us. I believe it's Christ, but they can take anything we're in and it can still end up beautiful. It's just a matter of full surrender back to the truth. So, I know we're just about out of time, Samantha. Any last thoughts today?
I guess like with my husband, with faith, I just wonder like I believe spiritual attack is real. I believe like this absolutely could be the devil working his way into our family, and it started with losing faith with one person, and then, my basically giving of myself to somebody else, and it's on and on and on. It's been a trickle down effect. I do believe that spiritual attack is real, and I'm seeing it in my family, and
Absolutely.
I don't want it. I don't want it. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Don't allow it, Samantha. Don't accept it. Fight like hell against that spiritual attack and do what you need to do to not allow it. And you might need some help. You might need some direction. You might need some support in order to withstand it, because it'll keep coming. It'll double down when you really start down a certain process. The pain, the grief, the second guessing, all that stuff's going to come up. And so for you to fortify yourself to walk through that process is important.
Yeah, thank you. I agree.
Thank you, Samantha, for your willingness to come on. Thank you to our listeners for being willing to be a holding space for these stories. Hopefully they're impactful for you too. And you guys have an awesome week.
Awesome.
Thank
Thanks,
you
guys.
so
We'll see
much.
you.